My name is Kathy, and I'm a debtor. And I need to breathe. Am I too soft? I am soft-spoken. That's one of the things that I do. So how's that? Can you hear me? Okay, cool. So here we are. We're at the World Conference, and it's in Los Angeles. Woo-hoo! And the amazing thing is that you've come from all around the country of the USA and all around the world. And here we are in this space, and we're in a place where we all speak the same language. And that's the language of the 12 steps, the traditions, and the concepts. And so we cross international lines to come together for recovery. And this is just such an amazing time, and to stop and take a moment and think about this space and this date and time in the world and what we're trying to do here. We're here for the debtor who still suffers. And how kind of us, and how special, and how amazing it is that we can all be together like this. So I am personally just really grateful and feel so thrilled to be in front of you and to have an opportunity to share my strength, my experience, and my hope, and my service, because the theme of today is service. And without the service of all of you and all the people here today, this would not occur. And so service has a special place in my heart because I am in recovery, and without the service of all the people that have touched my life, I would not be the person who's standing before you today. And I hope you don't mind wherever you are, but my other PRG person, Ben, who does wonderful service for DA, but my other PRG person on my very first PRG 8 years ago, she said to me, "Kathy, you gotta get big. You gotta get big." So right now, Ro, I'm pretty big. I am typically an extremely shy person and soft-spoken, and as a little girl, I would probably crawl under this podium just because I'd look out and I'd be like, oh my gosh, what did I do to get myself here? So here I am, and I'm going to share my story with you. And okay, so I, as a child growing up, I'll just share a little bit of my experiences. And as a child growing up, one of the first memories of money for me was elementary school. In our elementary school, they had a savings program. And one of the local banks, they would come in, they gave us those little passbooks in an envelope, and we'd bring our change. And we would that would go to the bank, and they'd stamp it, and they'd bring it back each week, and we'd put our coins in. And at the end of the year, I had accumulated $35. Now, I had never purchased anything for myself. I had no idea what $35 was, but it was there, and I had accomplished this. And we moved that summer. And I said to my mom, but what about my savings account? How am I going to get that? What am I going to do? And she said, oh, don't worry about it. And I really didn't have any comprehension or understanding. And while we were unpacking, I found my savings passbook, and it had a zero balance. And I didn't know how to ask. I didn't know what to say. I don't even know if I asked. But terminal vagueness set in. Okay? So I just went right in there. So one of the second things I'd like to share with you is that when I was in high school, my parents, just a little background about my parents, I'm a love child. My parents, my mother had me right after high school, and my parents were married, but I had come from two very different economic backgrounds. And on my father's side, my grandfather was an attorney, my grandmother remarried, and she always never worked. And My step-grandmother was an interior designer, very successful, very well-off people. My father went off to USC and graduated in business. And on my mother's side, they were working-class people. And my grandmother worked. And my grandmother worked in a factory for See's Candy. And when I was in high school, a neighbor across the street opened up a dress shop. And I went to work for him part-time. And I said something at a family meal that I, you know, had a part-time job, and I told them what I was making. And my grandmother looked at me, and I was making more money an hour than my grandmother. And that taught me economics. It taught me about the economics of women and my place in the world and what that might mean economically. And so this had a huge impact on me. And then later in life, my boyfriend, my husband-to-be, went to ask my father for my hand in marriage. This is, I don't know if anybody does that anymore, but anyways, my husband at the time, he was a very brave person to go in and ask my dad. And I remember going upstairs, and he goes back into, you know, my dad's office to talk with him. And I go into my room with my sister. And I'm just going to stop and say for one moment on this story, my sister passed away 35 days ago. When Ben said that I got up and spoke, and I'll tell that story later, but my sister, my younger sister, I went into her room and we were laughing. You know, David's going to ask Dad for your hand in marriage. We were like, oh my God, what would Dad say? My dad said to my future husband, "Don't give Kathy credit cards." Okay? Who knew? Well, he knew. He knew because he had given me credit cards. Okay? He gave me a gas card, maybe a couple of them. He gave me a Bullock's card, of which every Friday night before the sports dance in high school, I went and bought a new outfit. Nobody ever said, "Kathy, you know, you can only spend this amount. Kathy, you're spending too much. Kathy, give us the card back now. We don't know what the heck you're doing." But he felt a need to tell my husband this, or my future husband this. And so my sister and I were hysterical. But the thing that I take away from this is obviously you can hear in my story that money was not discussed. And nobody ever said anything about money. And my father was very happy to hand me over to my future husband because his family owned a chain of supermarkets. And I was going to be okay and not his responsibility anymore, I'm quite sure. So fast forward later, I was married for 24 years. And we had our ups and downs with money. We had a family business. So I do know about business, and we had a family business that had struggles. It had been extremely successful under my father-in-law, and then over time, the business started to fail, and people started behaving badly, okay, because it's a family business, and when money starts to go, people get a little nervous. So I had a moment where in my life, at the time, I really didn't have a spiritual life that I could claim fame to. And I had a sort of an epiphany that my marriage wasn't going to last, that the money wasn't going to last. And I went back to school, and I got a degree, and I actually got a degree in nursing. Because I wanted to be able to leave, go anywhere, and support. And I did that. I know it was my higher power's voice because I don't really have that kind of thought. or I really didn't have that kind of thought back then. And so I went back to school, and I did this. I studied at night. I had wonderful study people that would come over at 10 o'clock at night, and my kids would go to bed. And anyways, I graduated with a degree, and of course, right after I graduated, that business fell apart completely. And so I went to work I did that and managed that with my kids and that. And we had made a muck of money, absolutely, and our marriage fell apart. And at the end of that marriage, I took the house with the mortgage, and he walked off with the trust fund. So I know debting. I am a debtor. And to me, I wanted that house, I wanted the stability for my children, but I took on debt. I also took on the fact that I never knew how to manage money whatsoever. My husband had paid the bills, he had done everything. I hadn't a clue. So when the bill came, I paid it immediately. I just like, oh, get it out of here. What is it? Why is it, you know, why are they bothering me? It was not a really good way to operate. And he had showed me he had some spreadsheet and all this stuff like this. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I'll just, you know, when they come, I'll send it out. So I got myself into trouble, major trouble. One, we were a two-income family. Now I was a one-income family with two high school students, children. And I started ATM. I used my house as an ATM. I would charge up things and I would borrow money. I'd just go like this and just keep borrowing. And I had no idea, because I'm the girl that should never have a credit card. So I had no idea what money was, how it came. I mean, I went to work, I got a paycheck, but it was never, I was just sending all my money to debtors. Or to debt collectors, excuse me, not to debtors, debt collectors. They're collecting it. My sponsor always uses a wonderful word, it's usury. And if you look up the meaning of that, you know, and that was against the law in ancient times. So I found myself I was spiritually, morally, and financially bankrupt. And one of the last things that happened to me is one of the bank companies had called my neighbor across the street to tell them that I was a debtor and not making my payments. And luckily, I had a lovely neighbor who walked across the street to tell me this. I don't know how many other neighbors they called, but he did come across the street to tell me that somebody had called them and said, "How could you live in the same street with somebody like this?" And I was in shock. I was in shock. And really, because I'm my nature is to be very shy and very small, and to keep that very small. And so suicide was an option. It truly was an option, because I couldn't tell my parents, I couldn't tell my friends, I couldn't tell anybody the mess I had made. And again, that voice came to me. And that voice that told me to go to nursing school said, "Go to a DA meeting." I'm like, "What? Go to a DA?" So I looked it up, and I went to a Tuesday night Reseda. I had a little house in Reseda, and I went to a Tuesday night Reseda newcomer meeting service. That person was there giving service. The service we do at meetings is so very important. And I walked into that room, and there was a man there, and I talked to him, and I felt some relief. But the best thing that happened is while I was talking to him, about 25 minutes into that, people started showing up for the meeting, and they were laughing. There was laughter. They were talking about life, money, jobs, this, that, the other thing, and they were laughing. And that was missing in my life, and I wanted it so desperately to just hear it. Oh, please, just pour it on me. That I kept coming back. And I started to take some service commitments. I think I came, and I actually walked into that room May 3rd, 2011, so it was 8 years ago. And I, let me just breathe a minute. My life changed. My life changed so dramatically. And it was just because I could hear that laughter, and then I could hear the words that you were saying to me. I could hear the fact that I needed to write down my numbers. I heard the fact that I needed to have PRGs, that I needed to pick up literature. I started to read about the debtor. I heard the promises. And somebody came in and spoke, and I always like to say this in case there's any newcomers in here as well. A woman came and spoke, and she said, I asked for an emergency PRG, and I went, oh my gosh, you can have one of those, you can do an emergency PRG. So that night, I went and asked two people if they would give me a PRG. The first person I picked was a comedian because I wanted humor. If I was going to show my numbers, somebody better laugh in there because if it's all tears. And the other person I picked was spiritual. He was a very spiritual person. And he stayed with me a couple years. And then Ben has been with me, wherever you are, Ben, for years. And Ben is all about the service. That's a wonderful thing. So I had an emergency PRG, and I started to feel some relief. They gave me actions to do. They gave me tools. They said, here, let's make a list, and let's do this. So on that, all my numbers, we went through all of that. But as I said, the woman said to me, get big, Kathy. You got to get big. Get a vision board. I want you to get a vision board. Put some things on the vision board and do that. And I did that. I put on, I wanted to walk the Camino de Santiago. In order to walk the Camino, because I was starting to have a spiritual awakening. And I needed to have foot surgery because I'd worn high heels all my life. So in order to walk, I had to have foot surgery. So I put hiking boots, the surgery, pottery, because I'm a potter, and the Camino de Santiago. The things that happened to me is that I was taking a pottery class with a new teacher, and we were in a pottery show. And I saw my work with other people, not to compare, but I actually got a vision that I have a gift, and my gift is unique, and this is what it is. And that was truly amazing. Unexpected, absolutely unexpected. You know, I figured I'd be like, no, you can't see my stuff. And actually, I was proud of the work I have too, and but I was scared. Because look what happens when you put something out there and you wish for something, you might get it. Oh boy, what is in my head? What do I think? What do I do? What am I asking for? So that was a little bit scary. From there, I asked for a sponsor. I can't say what sponsorship means. I love my sponsor in such a very special way, and she has helped me to grow up. Her feistiness and not wanting to be in this program, when I heard her speak, she was really resistant at first, and then the strength and the growth that she had in these rooms. I am just so blessed to have the people that I have for my PRGs all these 8 years, to have my sponsor of 8 years. And with her guidance and working the steps, I have been able to grow up and pay my bills. I had told Ben all of this stuff, but when I walked into DA, I was over almost $500,000 in debt. When I say I ATM'd my home, I ATM'd my home. And so my house was upside down, and I owed credit card debt, and because I was so ashamed to go back to the bank to borrow, I had started to rob from my retirement account. I was down to $17,000 in my retirement account, and my house was upside down. 2 years ago, I paid off all my debt. I sold my house. I moved to Santa Monica with someone I love very dearly. I got to bring my dog. I have a 100-pound lab. And I live with somebody who never had a dog, and he lies on the floor with this big dog, and the two of them love each other very, very much. But my life has changed, because also I'm going to go back just a little bit. At the same time that I walked into DA, I was engaged to a doctor who said to me, "It's okay if you go to DA, but once we're married, I will take care of you financially, so you won't need to worry about that." And that did not sit well with me. He's a lovely man. I work with him, and he has helped me with my sister. He helped me recently with my sister, so there's no hard feelings towards that. But what I heard, that uncomfortable feeling was the feeling that kept me in DA. And so I ended that relationship, and I went through a period of just really working the program and taking care of myself and really learning about self-care and how to pace myself and to value myself and to say yes. And a few of the key things that I do in saying yes is when I come into a meeting, I like to sit with my palms up, because in case it doesn't go into my ears, I'm really hoping osmosis is going to have it land in my hands. But I really want to hear what you all have to say, because that's how I grow and learn. That's how I know that I'm okay, because you're okay, and that we're all going to be okay together. When Ben was talking about me speaking, and my father had passed away, and I've been very blessed as well, because I've lost two people I love very much, but we were able to, I was able to walk through fear when my father was dying. My stepmother had wanted to put him into a facility for the last few days of his life. And in these rooms, I've learned to not be afraid, which is huge. And I said to her, "Jan," I took her hand and I said, "Jan, we can do this. My siblings and I will come. Can we get hospice? Can he die here at home? Can we do this?" And somehow I touched her, and she said yes, and we were able to do that, which was such a gift. And a few weeks ago, my sister and my mother and I stayed and held my sister's hand, and we walked her through that. And that is such a gift, but it's, it's those fears of what happens at the end of life, or what happens to all of us, and to be able to walk through that. I really learned in these rooms to be that kind of grown-up, to be of service. And that's why we're all here today, because service counts. It counts. It means everything. So when when my father passed away, I was doing a spending plan workshop. I wasn't prepared. I had no time to prepare, because we were doing this with my dad. And so I come into the Burbank workshop, and I know that they have an overhead projector. They said they would have one that day. And I came with my spending plan. And talk about walking through fears, because here I am, and I have nothing, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have my spending plan. So I put it on the overhead projector, and everyone saw what I made, what I spent, and how I did it. And the worst part was when I had my first PRG, they said to me, we went over costs and expenses, and there was hair care, and hair care had hundreds of dollars on it. And they, I sat there, I remembered, like, they're going to talk about the hair. And I said, that's sort of a no-brainer. You can't touch that. I can't do that. Okay? And they said, okay, let's work around that. It's okay, all right? You can do that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this place. You people are wonderful. What can I do? How can I help? Yes. So when I give PRGs now, I like to ask, what is important? What don't you want to compromise with? Because I get that. And also, I had that all in front for everyone to see, and that broke down the walls of fear completely. Absolutely. It was the biggest growth I'd ever had, because there's nothing I won't show or tell you or do. There's just nothing. I'm here. You get me, you get all of me. I am no longer compartmentalized. I learned in these rooms to attend business meetings. And in my career, in the last 6 years that I've been, I started a new career within the organization that I work for. I define what that role is and what I do. And I learned to be able to talk in meetings and do that through Robert's Rules of Law, through contentious business meetings, through people wanting to, we had a PRG for our meeting at one point in time that went on for weeks. But I learned, Ron, wherever you are out there, thank you. But I learned how to handle business. And so in learning to do that and handle myself in business, but to be me, because I'm no longer afraid, right? I've broken down those walls. I get to be Kathy everywhere I go. Even though I might not always want to be Kathy everywhere I go, that's who I am. So when I walk into business meetings and I speak from my heart. This is me. This is who I am. So if it's an emotional issue to me, I'm going to get emotional, and that's just the way it is. Or if I need to take a hard line, I've learned from you in these rooms to take a hard line. I have asked for and received just about $50,000 in raises because in this room. I have hundreds of thousands of dollars in retirement now. I have hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings when I sold my house. My life is entirely different. Because I grew up in these rooms with you, all of you, and your stories, and that has helped me to be the person I am today. So what do I do from here? I want to give back. I want to help. I want to, I'm going to look over at Kathy. I see your face over there, but I want to work with the underserved, with the prison population, because honestly, there but for the grace of God go I, because of the things that I would do. And I never want to forget that. I want that I want to be of service, because I believe that all of us, in our hearts of hearts, want to do well, want to be connected, and want to feel a part of something. And I say that how very lucky I am that I'm a debtor, because I have all of you, and without that, where would I be? So Ben, I don't know where I am with time.
You've got about 7 minutes.
Oh dear God. That's the other thing. That's God and I. We arm wrestle a lot, you know. I ask him to keep his sense of humor. But honestly, I'm going to let you go back to your food. I am such a grateful member of Debtors Anonymous. I am just blessed with the life that I live now, with the people who are of service to me. And I also just want to say one more thing. I'll go into this a little bit. Because of my dis-ease, my children were raised with dis-ease. And so they struggle. They're grown-ups. They're adults now. And that's one of the hardest things, I think, as a parent, you know, is the fact that I can say, you know, I was raised without the conversation of money. And they were raised with the damage of what one does when one doesn't know anything about money. And a couple weeks ago, I was blessed. My beau, his son, and my two children and my son-in-law were all in the same room. And, you know, there's for a mom, there's nothing like it. And all I can say is that I hope that as I touch other lives in these rooms in recovery, that I can touch the lives of my children once again, and that we can all be together in recovery as well. So I'm just going to leave it there. Thank you so much.